Hello and welcome to the Disclosure Podcast. I am your host, Ed. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I hope that you find this episode insightful. If you are new to the podcast, I have a catalogue of previous episodes and interviews discussing a broad range of different related topics surrounding veganism, morality, ethics, communication, and the environment, as well as discussing current events. If you want more episodes of the podcast, or if you just like to become a supporter of the work that I do, then you can sign up to my Patreon to get an exclusive patron-only Q&A episode every single month where I go through your questions. And finally, if you enjoy listening to the podcast, then it would mean the world to me if you could leave a review on iTunes. Thank you so much again for tuning in. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Disclosure Podcast. I am your host, Ed, and I hope that you're all doing well, and I hope that you're enjoying the month of December so far. And I thought, because it's the month of December, we could take the time now to talk a little bit about Christmas. Because obviously Christmas can be a very challenging time of year for vegans. I mean, it makes sense on a multitude of levels, of course. So I thought we could discuss that a little bit, and then maybe discuss some of the ways that we can cope as vegans during this time of year. Because of course, when we think of Christmas, what we really think of outside of, you know, presents, what we really think of is the Christmas dinner, of course. You know, Christmas dinner is the centerpiece of Christmas Day, and the centerpiece of the Christmas dinner is, of course, the turkey. You know, a sentient being who was killed for that Christmas dinner. And so that's a really hard thing as vegans to get our head around, because Christmas is supposed to be a day of celebration. It's supposed to be a day of coming together, of community, of family, of union, of talking about peace on earth. And yet at the same time, we paradoxically cause immense amounts of suffering, huge amounts of suffering to billions of animals for just one singular day. And ironically, a day on which we're supposed to talk about peace and compassion and family and, you know, love and all of these different things. I think another aspect that can make it even more challenging is obviously because for many of us, our families don't even celebrate Christmas because of a religious thing. Not that the religious celebration of Christmas makes the exploitation of animals justified. Of course, it doesn't. It's even more paradoxical, perhaps, because the messaging of Christmas is about life and birth and, you know, happiness and peace on earth. So it's even more paradoxical, of course, potentially. But ultimately, when we're not celebrating Christmas for religious reasons, we're just celebrating it because it's a cultural tradition. But it means nothing really then, does it? Because it's a day of celebration from a religious perspective. And outside of that religious context, all of a sudden it's just a day where we're doing something because society says that's what we're supposed to do on this day. And then to think of all of the violence that's been caused to animals for something that we're only celebrating because, well, we're supposed to, because that's what society tells us we're supposed to do, and because everyone around us is doing it, and because there's so much pressure to do it. When you think about it on those levels, it becomes even more obscene that we can kill and cause suffering to so many animals just for a day that really has no meaning at all outside of the meaning that we as a society put on it, you know, and we do put a lot of meaning on it, of course. And it's a troubling time of year for many people for many reasons, of course, outside of veganism as well. But it's particularly hard for us because of these reasons, because we're expected to go see a family, we're expected to go and have a Christmas dinner. And if we don't want to do that, or if we say something around the dinner table, or we act in a specific way, or act in a way that the non-vegans might find to be unbecoming, then of course that creates a lot of friction. And there's so much expectation and pressure on Christmas Day to be a certain way. And so as vegans, if we somehow impose ourselves on this wonderful day, then it can be really, really terrible, of course. Arguments and frustration and upset and not a very happy Christmas at all. It's a familiar story for many of us, I'm sure, as vegans. If you're listening, you probably encountered something similar at some point in your vegan journey as well, if you've celebrated Christmas with non-vegan friends and family. And so it is a hard time of year, and I think this year will be potentially harder with coronavirus and the different complications that that can pose as well. There's potentially more of an expectation that Christmas Day has to be something significant because this year has been so challenging. That's if, of course, you're allowed to celebrate it with your family and you're choosing to do so. And so it becomes obvious to understand why as vegans we don't look forward to Christmas. We don't look forward to the dinner table politics of it all, you know, not wanting to overstep the mark, but knowing that at the same time questions will be asked of us, a family member will try and tease us for not having the turkey or the pigs wrapped in pigs, the pigs in blankets. We know that that's probably something that's going to happen during the day. And then we have that choice, don't we? Whether we bite our tongue or whether we say something back and risk an escalation and then risk being blamed for the escalation because we said something back, which is often the ironic situation we find ourselves in, of course, sat around the dinner table. Someone says something to us, we respond, and all of a sudden we're the bad people in the situation. We're the militant, preachy extremists that need to keep our opinions to ourselves and try and force everyone else to think the way that we think, when ultimately, often, we were just responding to something antagonistic that someone else around the dinner table said. Christmas, eh? It's a challenging time of year. So I thought maybe it'd be good now just to check in and talk a little bit about Christmas, how we can cope with it, what we can do maybe, especially as we're so close to the Christmas day now, of course. And so I think the first thing to bear in mind is, well, to look back on the year in its totality. You know, 2020 has not been an easy year, but one of the positives, I suppose, of the year is the mass amount of awareness that has been raised. People's habits have changed quite a lot in this year. I mean, we don't necessarily see the tangible effects of that within our own lives. But of course, we see the polls, we see the articles, we see the discussions, and even though we may not see that physically in front of us, the change of awareness or the raising of awareness, it's very much clear that it's happening. For instance, just last week in The Guardian, there was a post about how the sales of Christmas products are really increasing this year. One thing that was really great to see is that in Marks and Spencer's, which is like a supermarket, it's a department store, but they have a big food section, that they have a plant-based range called Plant Kitchen, and their vegan sticky toffee pudding is outselling the non-vegan one. Things like that really mean a lot when you think about what that actually looks like. And the sales of just Christmas products in general, vegan Christmas products like the vegan turkeys or the vegan Wellingtons or whatever vegan food you'd have at Christmas time, those sales are through the roof. And it's not just vegans buying these products. And I think that's what's really important to actually note, is that we see all the increasing sales of these products and increasing awareness. And a lot of the sales of these products have been driven by people that wouldn't classify themselves as being vegan, who aren't vegan. But they're buying these products maybe because they are trying to facilitate a more Merry Christmas for their vegan family members or their vegan partners, or maybe because they're actively wanting to take steps towards veganism. And so I think that's what's really interesting and I think quite empowering about the situation. Now, all of a sudden seems a little bit strange, doesn't it, to think of non-vegans buying these products and to think that non-vegans are contributing to more of a vegan world, but that is the reality, I suppose. And so what I would always say around Christmas time and New Year's time is that it's a great period for us to reflect, because every single year without fail for the past 5-6 years now has seen such a dramatic increase and a dramatic push forward. A huge amount of progression is made every single year. And it's always so funny because we always go, wow, 2020 was the year of veganism, 2019 was the year of veganism, 2018 was the year of veganism, 2017 was the year of veganism. But the reality is every single year is the year of veganism, because every single year so much progress is made and so much happens within the space of that year. Plant-Based News always release an annual documentary, like an annual YouTube video, and it's always good to watch it because there's lots of, you know, uncomfortable things like reminders of what's happened during this year, which are not always the most wonderful reminders to have. Of course, we don't need reminding. We're living through so much of it now. But ultimately, it's great to get to the end of the year and see all the different things that have taken place and all the different things that have happened. And 2020 has been no exception. So much change has occurred and so much change has happened around us. And polling showing significant increasing amounts of plant-based food sales, but also people making those changes and making those shifts in their own life. And those increasing sales translating to actual changes in attitudes and mindsets. That's a great thing, a phenomenal thing. And of course, what we're seeing this year as well is the spread of plant-based products and veganism into areas of the world such as China and Asia, the sales of products there increasing exponentially, the introduction of products there, which is really interesting and really important as well. Christmas Day can be hard, but it is the end of the year. And that gives us a unique opportunity to reflect on something which is just wonderful, which is the amount of progression and the amount that has changed within the space of the year. Of course, it'll never feel like enough, and of course, it will never feel that it was all that we wanted it to be, but that shouldn't take away from the significance of what has happened this year. And through all the hardships, the positive of those hardships is that it has created a lot of self-reflection, whether it's the Australian wildfires, the pandemic, the California wildfires, all these different tragedies and crises that we've suffered through this year have also created change for many people as well, positive change as well as negative change, of course. And so that's something rewarding and optimistic to take, I think, from this time of year. I know for me personally, I've not gone to celebrate Christmas with my family in such a long time. I don't even remember the last Christmas I spent with my family. And it's always hard to then try and think of Christmas in the context of what your family are doing. You know, for me, I don't really have much to do with my family at Christmas time. I don't go, I don't eat Christmas dinner with them. I don't talk about Christmas dinner with them. I don't talk much about Christmas with them. And I think that it's fairly obvious why that would be. I remember being a child and teenager, of course, and those memories of Christmas and the memories of what I would eat and how we would celebrate and starting the day with salmon and cottage cheese or whatever it might be. And then, of course, having the turkey or goose, as we sometimes had, and then the pigs in blankets, the ham, the sausages, the cheese, the Christmas pudding with cream and custard, all the eggs, the dairy that goes in with all of that. And you just think, my goodness, it's an onslaught, isn't it? A literal slaughter. And the cheese on crackers that you'd have afterwards, it is overwhelming sometimes. And this is Christmas, but it's the same so many days. When you break down all the different products that are in all the different foods that people consume every single day, it feels overwhelming because everything more or less has something in it that is not good morally, animal product wise, of course. So I think about Christmas, I think about the Christmases that I had and what those dinner tables looked like and the bodies that were on the table. It makes it hard for me to want to say Happy Christmas, you know, because it's like, how can you say Happy Christmas? How can you say, you know, Merry Christmas to all, you know, and to all a good night? How can you say these things? And so needlessly cause so much suffering to someone else. I mean, it's just so outrageous to think that we celebrate Christmas and we ask for world peace. Isn't that just the most disturbing thing, where so many people make a wish for world peace whilst on the table is so much violence, the opposite of peace? Where's the peace for the animals? You know, it's easy for us to sit back and with a big full belly and say, oh, I wish the world was a nicer place. Gosh, you know, wouldn't it just be great if we could all pull our socks up and just, you know, make the world a better place? Isn't it such a shame that we only have Christmas once a year? Because if Christmas was every year, the world would be such a nicer place, so much happier. But for the animals, Christmas every day would potentially be the worst thing. And it's so detached and so disconnected to think that we say, oh, Christmas is such a wonderful time of year. But for who? For us? Well, for a lot of us, for a lot of humans, Christmas is a terrible time of year. But for the animals, every single one of them, it's a dreadful time of the year, the worst time of year. I just don't know how we're so disconnected from it all, really. And it just seems so outrageous, I suppose, that we put so much symbolism on a day that's supposed to represent love and compassion or togetherness, family. And yet the main way that we celebrate those things is through denying all of the things that we celebrate for us on that day to all the sentient beings who were killed and who were suffering and exploited for that day. And in a way, I suppose me saying this doesn't make coping with Christmas any easier if you are going back to your families, but you know, it's important to rationalize why we feel the way that we do. And I think it's really important to validate the way that we feel. It's very important that we understand the way that we feel is rational and sensible, and it couldn't be more sensible, but it's so insensible to think of the ways that our friends or family celebrate Christmas. It's completely lacking any notion of rationality, isn't it? So I think it's important to validate the feelings that we have and understand why we feel the way that we do. And then when it comes to coping with Christmas, like I said before, I think we remind ourselves of all the good stuff that's happened this year. That puts us in a good frame of mind, at least. And it also creates a little bit of a barrier. It's almost like a bulletproof vest that we know when someone says something to us, or if they say something to us over the dinner table, we can think to ourselves, doesn't matter. That's one thing that's been said. I know that globally, outside of this little microcosm that is the Christmas dinner that I'm having now, there is significant change happening. And a little comment here or a little dig there or something sarcastic over here doesn't change that. It just makes my day a little bit more uncomfortable. But ultimately, they may be seeing these things, but I know the reality of what's happening around the world right now and the change that is occurring. Also, it's good to remember why people say the things that they do. If we bear in mind that, as I've said previously in this podcast, that Christmas is so much centered around Christmas dinner, people find veganism and people who have been vegan at Christmas especially a direct attack on those traditions and our identity. If Christmas dinner to us is, or Christmas Day, sorry, to us, is the Christmas dinner. And Christmas dinner is the turkey, the pigs in blankets, all the different things that I've said. Then to not have those aspects is to not have Christmas dinner, which is to not have Christmas in the eyes of our family or people that consume these products. And to not have Christmas is to not have a tradition. And to not have a tradition is to directly impact society and culture. And to impact society and culture is to impact our identity and our feeling of belonging. Because our identity and our sense of purpose and belonging is so dictated by where we were born and the societies we were raised in. And as soon as we start chipping away at parts of that, and Christmas is of course a big part of that, we're challenging often what it means to be us, like our place in society, our place in the world, our purpose, our sense of belonging. And so it seems so arbitrary, of course, because it is, but there's a deep psychological issue that's at play here. Another thing to bear in mind is people think, well, to have a happy Christmas, to have a good Christmas, means you have to have these things. Christmas to me means having these products. That's why Christmas is enjoyable. And if as a vegan, you can go to the Christmas dinner and you can sit there and you can enjoy all of the things of Christmas that your family are enjoying, the company, the foods, the festivities, you know, all the aspects of Christmas that are there to be enjoyed, then we're saying that what we're consuming is completely arbitrary to the enjoyment of that day. We're saying that we don't need these things to enjoy the day as we would like to. These things have no bearing on the happiness of the day because we can find just as much satisfaction, just as much fulfillment, and just as much Christmas joy by eating something else. And as soon as you show that to people, that's another egoic issue. That's another thing that's going to draw out a defensive tone. Because all of a sudden, all these products on the dinner table which come from violence are completely meaningless and needless. And if they're meaningless and needless, then of course they're completely unjustified. The violence, of course, is completely unjustified. And so if the violence is unjustified, our family are going to pick up on that. Subconsciously, of course. It's not conscious thought processes. These aren't things that our family are rationalizing to themselves. These are subconscious conflicts that are occurring. The cognitive dissonance, right? This is what it is. Cognitive dissonance. And so around the dinner table, us being there as vegans really stokes the flames of that cognitive dissonance to the point where they have to start trying to justify what they're doing. Because if they don't justify it, then they feel guilty and they feel uneasy. So there has to be the justification. Whenever there's cognitive dissonance, there has to be the supposed justification that comes at the end of it. Otherwise, the person is left with these feelings of hypocrisy and guilt and unease, which we can't exist with. We can't settle on that, of course. So the justifications start coming out, and those justifications will be trying to poke fun at you because you're the vegan. And so if they can poke fun at you and they can try and demean your food, then that creates power for their food. Power for their food creates meaning for their food. If they can rile you up and draw out a reaction from you, and you react in a way that betrays the idea that you're militant or preachy, or that you can't take a joke, or that you're no fun, or that you're ruining Christmas, well, that's the justification. Oh, go vegan, you become this preachy, militant, depressed person who ruins Christmas. Okay, that's the justification. Oh, I can't go vegan because I want to enjoy Christmas and I don't want to be all these negative things. So try and demean the food. Try and attack the person's character. These are just subconscious ploys that the people are trying to implement to create justification for the dissonance that is caused by your very existence in that moment, by the fact that you're there with the family consuming food and enjoying the food, completely disrupts what your family or our families believe Christmas symbolizes. And as soon as you disrupt that, well, that draws all sorts of psychological crises. And so that is the reaction. It's not an attack on you as an individual. It's not because they dislike you. It's not because there's any outward dislike for you. It's all happening subconsciously. And it may come across as being resentful because there will be resentment in there, of course. But ultimately, it's not a resentfulness of you. It's, if anything, it's kind of a form of, it's not envy, but it's a self-proclaimed feeling of inferiority. People will feel intimidated by the fact that you have completely changed what Christmas can mean. And because of that, they feel inferior, probably maybe lacking intellectual or emotional maturity. And so they try and gain one up on you, the vegan, and that's how they can do it. And so that's why we have these confrontations, or at least it's a big part of why we have these confrontations. And I think understanding why and where this comes from can arm us in a way. Be prepared for it, of course, but understand the rationale behind it. Understand this deep psychological baggage that people are carrying everywhere when it comes to the meat paradox. And the meat paradox cannot exist more so than it does on Christmas Day because of, like I've said, what Christmas Day symbolizes. It's not just a meal, it's the dinner, you know, potentially the most famous dinner, that, you know, the biggest dinner, the one that we prepare for longest, the one that we put the most amount of thought into, the one that has the most amount of pressure around it. So it's not just like your everyday meat paradox, it's the meat paradox on steroids because of what the Christmas dinner symbolizes. So you can start to begin to understand why these reactions can, of course, be potentially more intense on Christmas Day. Of course, there's probably more family members as well than just what there would normally be. So if we can understand why these things happen, try and rationalize it, detach the family member saying this from the reason they're saying it, so we don't find resentment towards our family member, just more a resentment towards the psychological conditioning that people in society have in one way or another, the cognitive biases, the cognitive dissonance. So we can find some level of detachment. It makes it a bit easier to cope with. It's not about the person necessarily. It's about these extra things that are controllable, of course, by simply changing how you live and challenging your morals, but ultimately can create what would be unconscious actions and unconscious decisions within the person who's suffering from the dissonance. So understand it, rationalize it, and then I suppose how we react to it is important. You know, what can we say in these moments? Do we combat them? Do we have a defensive reaction? Do we answer with a question like I often talk about doing? Or do we just sit with it and grin and bear it because it's Christmas Day? Ultimately, I think that's up to us as individuals to decide. It really depends on the moment. But I think being prepared and having responses, you know, maybe we remember what our family member said to us last time or our friend said to us last time. If we can think back to those excuses, try and have a response to them, just something that we can very calmly and politely say, something that's assertive but doesn't come across as being argumentative, perhaps, something that states our point but doesn't cross that line of creating escalation, perhaps, would be the most preferable solution to this. And so I think having a good response, being prepared, being ready, and also maybe having enough vegan food for other people to try is a nice way of just sharing that around. I mean, of course, a lot of what we eat on Christmas is vegan anyway. You know, the gravy often, the potatoes and carrots, parsnips, Brussels sprouts, the stuffing. Most of that's vegan. And unfortunately, if it's not because of things like duck fat or something, it can be easily changed to be vegan. So I think just maybe offering vegan food is a good idea. Bringing some round can help and maybe just relieve some of that pressure and stop the dinner table from being so segregated. So it's not just these people are eating this and you're eating that. It's you're eating something different, but you're also sharing a lot of food as well. And I think it creates a bit more of a community sense and, you know, less of a segregation if there is that kind of communal dining where unfortunately they have the turkey and any other animal that they've killed for that day. But there is somewhat of a sharing of food rather than a segregation that automatically creates distance, which can lead to more of a sense of isolation and thus confrontation. So I think that's a good way of doing it as well. And I think ultimately trying to find that vegan community wherever you can, you know, if you've got someone you can message, you know, if you've got a Facebook group you can vent in or a Discord or just someone that you can at least talk to who's vegan on that day and maybe vent your frustrations or rationalize how you're feeling to them or just find some sort of sense of community and understanding, of course. I think that's really important as well. And ultimately, remember it is just one day. And if you're with your family for a few days, it's just a few days. That's all. It's just a few days. It's hard, but it will pass. And then it's New Year's and it's on to the next chapter of our life, of course. And next time Christmas comes around, 2021, at the end of the year, so much will have changed again in that time. So every year it gets easier and better because every year so much change is occurring and so much progress is being made, and 2021 will be no different. So I think finding that sense of grounding is good, making sure you have time to yourself if you're with family over Christmas, taking those moments of pause, of reflection, of, you know, finding a little bit of solitude if you need it. But if ultimately, if, you know, all of these things take place, it doesn't need to cause friction if you don't want it to. You know, we can still brush it off if that's what you'd prefer. Just let it go and just move on with the day. That's another good thing as well. And I always think, what would I do? You know, it's kind of easy to say, oh, this is what we could do and this is maybe what we should do. but I don't celebrate it with my family, and I don't go, and I just can't see it. You know, I try and picture what I would do. Part of me thinks, oh, I probably wouldn't say anything. Part of me thinks I'd probably say a lot, and then I just don't know, because it's so hard to think. And I could just, you know, there's just this thought of being around that table, and the Christmas music is on, because I just always remember we'd put the Christmas music CD on, and it would play compilation of different Christmas songs, and then we just sit and eat. And it's just so, it's so weird, isn't it? And you put the paper hat on and do the crackers, and it's just kind of like this, I don't know, it's like a weird feeling to reflect on that, because I suppose because it feels, it's not that it's forced necessarily, but it feels so strange that we're just doing this thing because we're told we're supposed to. Or pull a cracker and get a little pack of screwdrivers or whatever comes in the cracker because that's what you're supposed to do on Christmas, and play Christmas music because that's what you're supposed to do on Christmas, and sit around with paper hats on because that's what you're supposed to do at Christmas, and then eat these products because that's what you're supposed to do at Christmas. I think it's a lack of critical reflection that can often be one of the more challenging aspects, the unconsciousness of it, the unconsciousness of the consumerism, the unconsciousness of the consumption. But anyway, I think that probably brings us towards the end of the podcast now, and it's hard to kind of put into terms, I suppose, easy solutions to what is ultimately a very difficult day. But I think just having that element of understanding, trying to detach from the nastiness often of the comments that we're receiving, and ultimately understanding that the bigger picture is showing very succinctly that things are changing. I think those are great things to be able to do, and also find that sense of community, people you can speak to, people you can vent to, people you can have discussions with who understand you and agree with you. Those are really important things to do as well over this particular period of time. And if you don't have any of that yet, a community, I mean, then have a look on Facebook and have a look on social media, if you use social media, to try and find those groups and to try and find people that you can interact with positively about these situations. I think that can be really important. That probably brings us to the end. I hope that you've enjoyed listening to my thoughts about Christmas and kind of my understanding of what Christmas means from a vegan perspective. But of course, there's so much good that can come from Christmas as well. And that, you know, it is a really positive time of year for many of us. Even as vegans, we can have positive experiences. We can, you know, have productive conversations. We can, you know, make progress within our insular existences as well, just with those around us. We can still have those really important moments, and there's no reason why the Christmas dinner, even if we're spending it with non-vegan family, there's no reason why it can't be a productive moment, something where we feel that we're actually making some sort of headway with the situation. Potentially that could just be simply bringing vegan food for our non-vegan family to try. It could be having a productive conversation. It could be, you know, giving a response to something we couldn't respond to before, and, you know, making steps forward in that way. Maybe we don't have what we'd say to be the most productive conversation, but maybe we've given responses that we feel proud of, and we feel that, yes, we stood our, or sat our ground, as the case is around the dinner table, of course. Maybe we just feel proud of ourselves for being there, for expressing how we feel, and doing so in a way that maybe generated or stimulated some critical thought within the person that we were speaking to. And so the good thing, I suppose, in many ways is that there is no pressure for it to be anything other than what we want it to be, of course, and we can create, I guess, meaningful dialogue and actually maybe achieve something positive as well. And that's a good thing to be optimistic about. And even if that doesn't happen, we just brush ourselves off and get into 2021, because ultimately change is happening all around us all the time. And that's an important thing for us to think about a lot. So check out Plant-Based News' new film on their YouTube, maybe go read some of their articles, because they're always, you know, discussing great things that are happening as well. And that's an important thing for us vegans to see and to read and to hear about, all the good things that are happening, all the positive steps that are being made as well. So I think that's what I would recommend. But yeah. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. And if it is difficult, I hope that you're able to get through it. And I hope that you're able to find some enjoyment from the Christmas period and enjoy the vegan food, of course. And, you know, hopefully celebrate with vegan friends and family as well at some point, if not on the day itself. But I really appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you very much. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. And I hope as much as you possibly can that you all have a happy Christmas, and that you are able to enjoy the festive period in some way or another. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please do stay safe, and I will speak to you all very soon.